Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to gather and to worship you. Father, I thank you for each person that is here and those joining us online. Lord, I ask that you just come into this presence in this moment. Father, that we tune our hearts and minds to you, that we remember the love that you have for each of us, and that we learn to rest in your presence. Lord, we thank you for this offering. May we use it for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship this morning.
Oh,
It tells us in Luke 19, "Today salvation has come to this house," Jesus told him, "because you too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." That's why we are here and why we celebrate My Three every week, is this idea that Jesus comes to save. But here's the thing, it's not just an idea, it's what He really does. And we know there are many people in our lives who don't know Him. And I know I repeat this weekly, and I drive it home because I feel like this is so important. This is part of the Great Commission, is us going out, reaching the lost for Jesus, and never being satisfied until we have one more, and then one more. So we've seen many come. So what I want you to do is I want you to think of those three people this morning in your life who need to know who Jesus is, who are walking around blindly in their life, searching for hope in all the wrong places. And let's lift them up inside of this moment. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You. Father, we all know people who are lost in our lives, who are walking around with no guidance in everything they do. Lord, we lift them up by name to You at this moment. Father, You know who they are. You know what their needs are. Father, I ask that You work inside of their hearts, that You work inside of their minds, and that You call them to You. Lord, may You give us wisdom as we interact and as we talk with them and as we pray for them. Father, may we seek You on their behalf without ceasing. Lord, we thank You for the way that You provide. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue to worship this morning.
You took me by the hand. You marched me out in front. freeing us from everything that we deal with.
So I have the privilege of introducing a new song to you this morning. It is called A Thousand Hallelujahs by Brooke Leggertwood. And when she wrote the song with Phil Wickham, it was in an old church where Phil meets. And they were inspired by the number of people that have come through and the voices that were singing and praising the Lord. Thousands of hallelujahs came through that church building. It's the same here. A thousand hallelujahs. And she starts the song with, who else would rocks cry out to worship? Whose glory taught the stars to shine? Perhaps creation longs to have the words to sing, but this joy is mine. We get to praise. We get to worship. And in Psalms 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words. No sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. We get to praise the Lord.
Song is forever.
Church of God. Just imagine the thousands of hallelujahs we've heard throughout and the number of people who have come to know Jesus, not just in here, but even in the old building. And it's amazing to think back and think about that at times. Well, good morning, church. You know, it's good to be here this morning as we get together to celebrate our Savior. But I want to welcome everybody here this morning. I want to welcome our guests and all those that are joining us online and the radio. We are thankful for each of you. But before we dive into the message this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today. And Lord, I thank you for just your goodness and the way that you provide for us, the way that you watch over us. Lord, I ask that you just let your spirit be known here today. Lord, I ask that it's your words that are spoken and not my own. And Lord, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Lord, I ask that you give me the strength that is needed, and that we may just take these words to heart and we may grow in knowledge and wisdom of you. I thank you for all of this in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we spent the last couple weeks looking at the cost of discipleship. We've seen Jesus emphasizing the mission that he has called us all to go out into the world and proclaim the gospel message, to call people to repent and turn back to Jesus, and to enter into this relationship with our Heavenly Father. We were reminded through the text that this calling that he has given us often requires great sacrifice for us who call him Lord. Jesus warned his disciples that the cost of discipleship is not cheap. It is not an easy road. That those who choose to follow Jesus, the world will often turn their backs on. That we may lose family and friends over our faith. That we may lose other relationships. We were reminded in the text that for some, it may even cost them their lives. Just like it did John the Baptist last week. But what we stand to gain is so much greater than anything the world can provide us. What we stand to gain is so much better than anything we could ever imagine. And that is an everlasting relationship with our Heavenly Father, the one who created us and put this world into motion. The world we live in is but a fleeting moment compared to eternity. And we were reminded in the text that we have a great calling, each and every one of us do. And that calling is to go out and make disciples. That calling is to go into the world. And it's not a calling just for pastors, for missionaries, or for elders. This calling to go out and make disciples is not just about Sunday school teachers and leaders in our church. This calling to go out and make disciples is for each and every one of us who call Jesus Lord. Yet through it all, we're not called to do any of this alone. Instead, we're called to do it as the body of Christ, united as one. You know, even when Jesus went as far as to send his disciples out on their first mission trip on their own, what did he do? He sent them out two by two because he understood that this calling is not something that is meant to be done alone. He equipped us with everything we need to fulfill the Great Commission. He started with his words. God provided everything we needed in the Old and the New Testament.
giving us instructions for our lives. He equipped us by giving us his own life, Jesus, as a living example of what it means to be a follower of Christ, of what it means to go out and make disciples that make disciples. And he's given us the Holy Spirit, who speaks into our life in that still small voice, those whispers in our lives, giving us instructions for whatever we may face. And he's given us each other as a family, as a body of Christ united, to be able to lean on each other, to support each other, to encourage each other. You know, as followers of Jesus, we need to learn our Savior's heart. We should have a desire to know what he loves and what he hates. We should have a desire to know what our Savior what moves him to action. You know, it's throughout the gospel message that we see Jesus' heart fully revealed. We see a particularly clear vision of his heart in the text this morning, through his interaction with his disciples and the crowd. The passage we're going to be looking at is Jesus feeding of the 5,000. And I think most of us have probably heard this in one fashion or another at a certain point. But this passage this morning leading up has been an emphasis on mission. And Jesus has been emphasizing the cost of discipleship. And it's been clear through these passages that the Bible does call us and does require great sacrifice from us. But this morning we're also reminded in another area of Jesus' heart, the area of compassion and caring that Christ has, and his desire to help the lost and the wandering in this world. We're going to be over in Mark chapter 6, again, for anybody who wants to follow along this morning. And we're going to pick up right where we left off last week in verse 30. And one thing that I always find interesting is how often I can be reading the Bible and I can find it applying to my own life. And I can find some of this morning very heavily in my own life at the current moment. It tells us in Mark 6, verse 30, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. If you recall, over the last couple of weeks, we've seen the disciples go out on their own for the first time. They were called to take the message that Jesus had given them, one that they were called to go out and call the people to repent of their sins and turn back to God. They were commissioned to go out and drive out demons, anointing the sick with oil and healing them. And they were called to go out two by two. But this was the first time Jesus had not just sent them out, but he sent them out with his power and ability within them. Giving us an example of what we're called to do is to go out and share the good news of Jesus, calling people to repent and turn back to him. And everything they'd been doing had been heard about in the area, even to the point that King Herod had heard about who Jesus was, had heard about what his disciples were doing. And now they were gathering back with Jesus to report to him all that had been done and everything that had been said. And I'm sure this was an exciting time for the disciples. Like, how many times when you go out on a mission trip, you want to come back and you want to share with everybody, right? Or when you know somebody who just come to Jesus, you want to share that with other people about the miracle of event that just happened in someone's life and how their life was transformed. That's where the disciples were at in this moment. They had just witnessed Jesus do all these amazing things. And here he was in front of them and they were sharing with him about it all. But I am sure that even throughout all this excitement, they felt weary and wore out. I don't know if you guys have ever noticed, ministry will wear you out. It'll bring you down sometimes. And Jesus understood that. He knew that. So he tells them in verse 31 and 32, Jesus says to the disciples, he said to them, come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while. For many people were coming and going, and they didn't even have time to eat. There were so many people coming in at that moment, they didn't have time to just rest and even eat. And it says in verse 32, so they went away in the boat by themselves to a remote place. You know, when we're doing that work that God has called us to, people naturally want to come see what's going on. People may not always stick around, but they naturally want to come see, why is God moving there? Why are these events happening? And that's what was going on. As they came back with Jesus, these people would have heard about the disciples and Jesus and everything that had been going, and they would want to know more. But at times it starts becoming so overwhelming that they need that time of rest. We need that time and place of solitude. And Jesus understood that. You know, throughout Jesus' ministry, he often would go out to the countryside by himself. He would go off, and what would he do? He would rest. He would seek his Father. He would spend time in prayer. He would go away for a little bit to be refreshed. He was giving us examples of how we should live our lives in those moments when things just become overly busy, to reminding us to take a moment and rest. And so at this moment, he invited his disciples to come with him, to go to a place and rest for a moment. You know, rest is a gift that God has given us through his great compassion. The title of the sermon this morning is Jesus' Compassion, and we're going to see it several times throughout the text. From the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, the Bible tells us, what did he do? He rested on the seventh day. And it was through that tradition and through Jesus, God doing that, that we ended up with the Sabbath, the day of rest. It was something that God has actually asked for us to do, is to have a day of rest. Jesus went as far as teaching his disciples that the Sabbath was for man, was created for man, not for God. That was a gift to us to have the Sabbath. How many of us take advantage of the Sabbath? We can all be guilty of that. And by the way, the Sabbath doesn't just mean go to church. Okay, I know that's been kind of like the traditional aspect. That's not actually the point. It's a day of rest. It's a day. You know, I think we forget about that. We forget that God has called us to take that day. And what we're supposed to do is to reflect on his goodness and his mercy. He's inviting his disciples to go and rest, to reflect on all the ways that God has provided for them on this trip, to look back on all the things that God has done in their life. Here they were in a remote place, and they were there, they were heading to a remote place so that they could have a time to reflect on what God has done in his life, in their lives. I want you to think about that. When was the last time that you just took time to sit quietly with God and remember all the ways that he's provided for you? To look back on all the times that he has stepped up and done amazing things. We get so busy and we forget about taking that Sabbath rest that we can start to overlook how God has actually provided. We can start to overlook on how God has actually been there in the midst of it all. And it's taking that time that we can actually oftentimes see more clearly. And Jesus was showing compassion to them by taking them away and reminding them to take that time of rest. By the way, when I talk about time of rest, I'm often speaking to myself. I'm probably the worst at it. I will acknowledge that. You know, sometimes the burden of ministry can become overwhelming. It can become busy to the point that we forget to take that time of rest. And by ministry, I don't just mean me. I mean all of you. I mean every one of you. You know, we have our families. We have our jobs. We have our ministries, all of which demand energy and time, don't they? Each and every one of them. And by taking the time to rest, it gives us that ability to sit back and examine our lives. It gives us an opportunity to sit back and examine what God is doing. And it gives us the ability to remember to thank God for all the ways that he's provided. So Jesus was taking his disciples to go and rest. But the story continues in verse 33. It tells us in verse 33, but many saw them leaving and recognized them, and they ran on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. Even with Jesus and his disciples trying to get away for a moment of rest, they were all coming and going. Disciples didn't have a chance to eat, and here they were. They're just like, hey, let's go. Let's get in the boat. Let's take off. Let's go find that place that we can rest for a moment. But the people saw him going, and they ran after him. They would have recognized him from all of Jesus' teaching, but also, like I said earlier, from the disciples' teaching on their last trip. And people wanted to know more. And if you recall, Jesus said, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few." This is why we're not called to do ministry alone. This is why we're called to lift each other up and to pray for each other, to be there for each other. This is why we often talk about how ministry is not just the teachers and the preachers and the missionaries' job, because it's never intended to be done alone. It's all of our jobs, each and every one of us, to work together as the body of Christ to fulfill the great commission to reach out to the lost in this world. You are all called to ministry in some fashion or another. You may not be called to come up in the pulpit and speak, but you are called to ministry, each and every one of you. It tells us in verse 34, when they went ashore, he saw a large crowd and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he began to teach them many things. Went up on the shore and he had compassion on them. Here were the disciples trying to get away for a moment of peace by themselves with Jesus, to have that moment of rest. And as they would have looked in and saw the large crowd coming, they would have realized that they're not alone. And their only time alone was probably going to be on the boat, and the only opportunity they had to rest in that moment. I'm sure it was a moment of frustration for the disciples. They'd just gotten back from this long trip, and they had just started having the ability to have some alone time with Jesus to debrief everything that had occurred. But here was this large crowd. What were they going to do? How were they going to handle it? Jesus used this opportunity, though, with the crowd to provide a lesson for the disciples. Instead of getting impatient and frustrated with the people, where they were and what they were coming, Jesus had that moment of compassion on them. He didn't send them away. He understood that they were like a lost sheep without a shepherd. And when a sheep don't have a shepherd, someone to watch over them, they become in grave danger. And they become susceptible to the things of this world. Falling for traps, becoming lost and scattered. Jesus often uses this metaphor of the lost sheep throughout his teachings because it shows the importance of how easily that we can fall astray when we don't have a good shepherd to guide us and direct us. When we don't trust Jesus and his words to give us direction in life, we can so easily fall astray. When we don't have our brothers and sisters in Christ walking alongside of us, we can fall for things of this world and can take us down a path we don't expect. When we don't have a shepherd to guide and direct us, when we don't have a shepherd to keep the enemies at bay, and I want you to know Jesus is that shepherd that we can trust. He's that one that will teach us if we trust him. He's the good shepherd that will keep us from straying from God. He's that good shepherd that was willing to lay down his life to protect his sheep. And even though Jesus would have been tired, and Jesus was very aware that the disciples were tired and they needed that moment of rest, he did not send this needy crowd away. He had compassion on them. And he took it upon himself to meet the needs of the people that were right there in front of him. And what did he do? It says he started teaching them. The passage continues in 35 and 36, and it says, when he grew late, his disciples approached him and said, "This place is deserted, and it's already late." 36 says, send them away so they can go into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat. You know, at this point in time, Jesus had been teaching these people late into the day. The Bible never tells us what he taught them. No matter, this particular account is recorded in all four Gospels, and it doesn't tell us, like he did with the Sermon on the Mount, on exactly what Jesus taught them. But what we do know is, odds are, is that he told them to repent and turn from their old way of life. You know, in our world we live in today, often what do we hear? Accept Jesus, but we've always seemed to forget this whole repent part. To turn to a new way of life. Allow Christ to come in and renew you from the inside out. And go back into God's perfect standards. Then his disciples approached Jesus. And they asked him to send people away when Jesus was trying to teach them. You see, they were out in the middle of nowhere, and Jesus and his disciples had been heading to what? A deserted place is what it told us earlier, right? A place to be alone where there wouldn't be other people. And the people that followed him, this was a place where they were at that would have had no villages, no food, no shelter. They were quite a distance away. And the disciples were trying to send them away to get to a village, to get to a safe place before the sun would set. A place where they could secure food. A place where they could get lodging and everything else. Because, you know, it wasn't exactly safe to travel after dark at that time. On top of that, the disciples were tired. They were wore out. And I can almost guarantee you part of the reasons they said that is they were hoping to get some rest themselves. Like they had initially attended when they left with Jesus. Yet that's not how Jesus responds. He tells them in verse 37, "You give them something to eat," he responded. They said to him, "Should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" Have you ever said something in a moment that you shouldn't have? Okay? Or have you ever said something when you were overly tired and later go, "Wow, that was not how I should have said that"? Because the way this actually reads is snarky. I think that's a good way of putting it. You know, that's pretty much what the disciples did inside of this moment. Here was Jesus instructing them to give the people something to eat. And instead of saying, "Okay, how should we do that?" Mind you, they've been with Jesus now for at least a year and a half. They've seen all these miracles happen. They've seen him work some amazing stuff. And they just got snarky with him. And they said, "Should we go buy 200 denarii worth of bread?" You see, the disciples had seen the crowds. They understood the magnitude of the crowd. And it would have taken a small fortune to feed everybody there. Let alone, where were they going to get it from? They were trying to send them off to different villages because of the amount that were there. And they were tired. They were restless. And here Jesus had asked them to do something that was obviously impossible in their eyes. They didn't have that kind of money. They didn't have the resources, they thought. You know, when Jesus asks us to go and make disciples, we can become overwhelmed. And what do we say? We say we don't have the ability. We don't have the knowledge. That we don't have the time. We often come up with a "we don't, we don't, we don't." If it isn't "we don't, we don't, we don't," what is it? "I can't, I can't, I can't." We always have excuses on why we can't do something. Discipleship is the foundation of what we're supposed to do, is to go out and reach the lost in the world for Jesus. That's what we're called to do, to step out, to walk alongside people, to call them to repentance. That entire thing that Jesus was teaching his disciples was not just for his disciples of that day. That entire thing is for us today as well. We don't get to ignore that and go, "Well, I've got my little ticket to heaven," and walk on. We don't get to retire from it at a later date either. This is something we do from the moment we wake up to the moment we close our eyes, from the moment we're born till the moment we're laid in the ground. If we are followers of Jesus, we will make disciples. That is what we're called to do. He was very clear in his instructions throughout it. And here's the thing. We can make all the excuses that we can and say we can't do something as the disciples did in this moment. We can say we're not equipped. We don't have what we need. And not trust Jesus to provide each step of the way. You know, Jesus showed up inside of this moment. And instead of scolding the disciples, he had compassion on them. And he used this opportunity to show them. He says in verse 38, he asked them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. 5 loaves, 2 fish. You know, the first thing Jesus told them to do wasn't scold them, right? He said, go check and see what you have. What is available to us right now? Just go check what you have. You know, often when we're called to a task by God, we can feel overwhelmed. We can feel the weight of the task on our shoulders, and we have no idea how we're going to get this done. But here Jesus is reminding his disciples. He's reminding us to go check what resources we do have. We need to see what we have available to us before we start saying that we can't do something, that we don't know how. We need to see what's been given to us. We need to remember that Jesus sees things differently than what we do. He sees stuff differently than what we do. And he's already provided every single thing we need. He's already taken care of it before we even get to that moment. You know, when you're going out to disciple, when you're going out to give the words, and when you're going out to speak to someone, when you're praying up and you're preparing to share the message, God has already laid that on your heart. He already knows the words you're going to say. And I'm going to remind you guys of something this morning. You are not powerful enough to screw up God's plans. Just be willing to go and do. Just be willing to step out in faith. He's given you all that you need. And the disciples said, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish, not even enough to feed the crowd in their eyes. But if you notice, the disciples did what Jesus said to do, didn't they? They may have been snarky in the beginning, but they went and they checked their resources. They checked what was available to them. And it tells us in verse 39 and 40 that then he instructed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat them down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Jesus didn't take the time to give them a long, drawn-out answer. Instead, he just put them into action. You know, often when God calls us to go do something, we may not even see further than the next step. But God's got the plan already done all the way through to the end. And here he's telling the disciples, he's not saying, now sit down, let me give you guys some long instructions. This is exactly each step of the process. This is what we're going to do. No, he said, go do this. They still have no idea how Jesus is going to take care of this. But they decided to follow each step as God laid out for them. That's what we're called to do. We don't always know how God's going to answer a prayer. We don't always know how he's going to call someone. But if we trust him, if we're in relationship with him, we need to remember that he has compassion on us and he will show us the way even when it seems impossible. He will provide each and every step. And after the disciples had them seated, it tells us in verse 41. 41 says, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looked up to heaven, and he blessed it, and he broke the loaves, and he kept giving them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided up 2 fish among them all. Jesus, at this moment, acted as the banquet host, and he looked to heaven, and he thanked God for the provisions he was about to give. And as Jesus broke the bread is when the miracle happened. You know, one of the things that we have to remember is that the Bible is translated from Greek to English. And we're reading it here in the English. And in the English, we actually miss something in this text. You see, there's 2 different verb tenses used in the Greek. Something that would drive an English teacher very, very crazy, very quickly. But you see that word break that's being used? Replies to an instant moment. That word break is it, that instant act. And the word giving is an imperfect Greek form implying a continuous act. The miracle occurred inside of Jesus' hand. I don't know if you watched The Chosen. You know, the baskets all just suddenly filled up in the show. I love the show, okay? I'm not saying anything against it. But that's how they decided to do it. But if we look at the Greek, it gives us a little bit different on how Jesus had this miracle happen. See, the miracle occurred inside of Jesus' hand. He broke the bread and was able to continuously give to his disciples all that they needed. He just kept breaking off of that bread, just continuously. It was a continuous act until they, so they could go out and they could feed the 5,000. Jesus provided what they needed inside of that moment to go and minister to the people. He provided the food inside of that moment to minister to the people. And he did the same thing with the fish. Jesus showed compassion to the disciples, and he showed compassion to the people inside of that moment. Not only had he fed them spiritually, but he took care of them physically that day. He provided each and everything. It tells us in verse 42 that everyone ate and was satisfied with all the people there. He was able to take those loaves and those two fish and provide for everyone there, that no one was going to go without. In fact, it was so much food, it tells us in verse 43, they picked up 12 baskets full of pieces of bread and fish. They had enough left over for each of the disciples to have a basket for themselves going forward. And in 43, it says, that was 44. Now those who had eaten the loaves were 5,000 men. You know, Jesus did what the disciples thought was impossible inside of that moment. He took 5 loaves and 2 fish and he fed over 5,000 people. What the disciples originally had brought to Jesus seemed insignificant, but in his hands, it became more than enough. Jesus uses that little bit to show compassion to the crowd that was there. He showed the disciples that no matter what they had to offer God, he could use it for his glory. You know, this message, you know, we can quickly feel insignificant in our lives, feeling as if we don't have enough to offer the body of Christ, like we don't have much to offer God. Each and every one of us can have that moment where we feel like we have just this minuscule amount, but we need to remember in Jesus' hands, he can provide everything we needed. That's why we're called the body of Christ. That's why we're called not to do ministry alone, because that little bit that you have may fit into the puzzle piece that is needed over here inside of this ministry to accomplish God's goal. And are you willing to walk it out and give what you have to Jesus? When we walk in obedience, like the disciples did, to gather the food they had available, to gather together their resources. They took the time to divide up the work and place the people in groups of 50 and 100. Jesus was able to use their obedience to show compassion to the world around them and show all of them their love that God has for them and that he will provide for their needs if they trust him. I want you to think about that this week. What do you have that you can offer God? And I don't care how little it is, offer it to him. Time, money, resources, what do you have? Because he can use that for his glory. And when we bring together as the body of Christ and we do the work together, we'll always have more than enough. God can use everything. Don't overlook that. Don't ever think of yourself as that little or that you don't have enough to offer. From the smallest child to the oldest person here, God can use us, especially when we come together. This isn't meant to be a one-on-one thing. This isn't meant to be a life together thing as the body. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise and to worship you. Father, we thank you for the compassion that you've had on our lives, for the way that you've come into our lives and directed us and helped us understand who you are. Lord, I ask that we all remember that you love us and that you cherish us. You had compassion on us before we ever even came to you. Lord, may we remember the importance that we roll of the role that we play in the body of Christ. May we never underestimate that. Lord, may we come together as the body of Christ and represent you well to the world around us, that others may want to come and join us. Pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Reminder, in about 10 minutes or quarter after, we're going to have membership classes over inside of the classroom to the left of the sanctuary for those who've signed up.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.